Well, hello again, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman with the next program we're going to have concerning the study of life. We've been studying on life for about two recordings now, and had a pretty good one last time. Started out in the first portion of the study, which was concerning life natural and what the Bible has to say about life natural. And we're going to continue in that, but to recap just a little bit, I hope you've been having a wonderful day and that you've been rejoicing in the Lord and not ashamed of Him and not sorry that you're serving Him. Our Lord's coming pretty soon. And we want to be waiting on Him and looking for Him when He comes and not ashamed at His appearing, the Bible says. We're talking about life. Just to recap pretty quickly, we talked about some of man's definitions for life and what man thinks about it. And as far as just the word life itself and what we're looking for and what we're trying to define in this study is what is life? What is it? Some people say that it's a living person. Some people say it's the period from the time you're born to the time that you die. Some people say, I mean, a lot of definitions. It's a broad word. The word is definitely a mystery. Trying to find out what this thing of life is. People have given their whole lifetime on this planet, on the earth, from the time that they could speak the word life to all the way to the time that they took their last breath, trying to figure out what life is. And we have gone to the book of life. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know the life that He has put in us and given us. We know Him personally. We have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us to teach us and to give us the truth of the Word of God and what truth is and what truth is not. And that's what we're going to study this. So we went on down through our study, and the last time that we came together on this study, we began talking about life natural. Life natural. And the first thing that we discussed concerning life natural was the origin of life natural. When we say natural, we're talking about in the body. We're talking about the body itself, the vessel that you're inside of, that you're walking around on this earth in, that breathes and has organs and life natural. The Bible uses the word natural, and the Bible uses the word unnatural, and makes it very clear what the Lord thinks as what natural is and what being unnatural is or unnatural things are. Under the heading of the origin of life natural, we talked about that life natural comes by God's creation. You know, a lot of people say, well, Adam came from the Lord. The Lord created Adam, and Mama and Daddy created you. Well, there's truth in that, but also, any place that you look in the Scriptures, any place that you look in the Scriptures and you search that out concerning life and the Lord having to do with it and Him creating you, the Scriptures lean toward that the Lord has very much to do with you being at conception, and even before conception, the Lord claims that He knows you. Now, I don't know what people mean when they're talking about, I don't know if they're dismissing the fact that the Lord is left out of me and you being born, and we are made by our mama and daddy and not created, and God didn't have nothing to do with it. I disagree with that, and I think the Scriptures do also. Everywhere I've read in the Scriptures about where man comes from and at man's conception and where the Lord spoke to, like King David, and spoke to lots of other people in the Scriptures, and talking about them coming about or being born or their existence, the Lord's very much up in that. And unashamedly, the Lord says that our origin is from Him. And that's the bottom line. A lot of people want to tell you that you came from mama and daddy. You didn't come from the Lord. That's not true. Read your Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't. It says that your mother and father had to do with you coming about. But the Bible says that you were God's creation. That's what it says. So we talked about Acts and Genesis and that the origin of life natural. And then we also spoke about life natural comes from natural birth. It not only is God's creation, but it is created within itself. Life natural makes life natural. Life brings life and makes life. So we find that out, that truth about life and what life is. Then we also seen that life natural comes by supernatural conception. That ought to tell us a little bit about something. God the Father, the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and she was a natural person. And then we know that the Lord is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says that God the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and overshadowed her. And he said that shall come upon thee, and that she was going to be impregnated by God the Holy Ghost, and she would bear a child, a natural child, supernaturally, because there wasn't a natural man involved in that, was there? So God has very much to do with conception and very much to do with the existence before conception. That's pretty, it's a mystery for sure, but the Lord in his word, you read it and you search that thing out and see that I'm telling you the truth, that even before conception, and people talking about this abortion matter and blah-bitty-blah about all that stuff, and they end the matter at conception. Well, the Lord takes it farther than that. He takes it beyond and before conception about knowing someone and knowing someone's person. And even knowing David talked about all of his limbs being written in God's book. Being written in God's book when they come about, and even before. So we see that we talked about as far as life natural, we've seen the origin of life natural. We've seen that that it's God's creation. We've seen its natural birth. We've seen that there's supernatural conception. The Lord Jesus Christ was supernaturally, naturally born and conceived and made. And then the second thing that we talked about was the Bible's description of the shortness of life natural, and trying to define life, trying to see what life really is, what is life. And we see that the Bible describes this life natural as a dream or a vision. It's very short. The description of life natural in the scriptures, when God the Holy Ghost teaches us out of the scriptures, he speaks to us about life natural and the shortness of it. He talks about it as being a dream in Job chapter 20 and then as a shadow in 1 Chronicles. He also talked about it as being as a cloud. I was watching that, and I remember telling you yesterday, or telling you in the last recording, about out there watching a cloud form into a chicken, and then the buzzards flying over me. I was laughing and giggling about that, thinking about that today. I said, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I don't know whether I should have or not, but I was out there reading today on the porch, and I was looking up. I kind of giggled about what I'd said on the last one, but I was watching them and the clouds and how they roll and how the wind moves them around and how they're there 1 second. And I sit there and watched one just roll and roll and roll. And all of a sudden that thing was so big and it stretched across the sky. And then, 5 minutes later, the whole thing was gone. It disappeared. It just went away. And the Bible says that life natural and the shortness of it is similar to that. It's like a cloud that appears and then it's gone. And all you have to do is sit outside and look at it. And, I mean, there's all kind of witness of God's truth in nature about natural life. We talked about that it's a few days and it's like a flower, the Bible describes it as. Many things the Bible describes, it's not a shame to talk about natural life, but one of the factors that it talks about concerning natural life is the shortness of it. It's not very long. You're not in that body very long at all. It talks about natural life as being a vapor. We talked about how a vapor, boiling water and the vapors coming up off of it, and how they're just there for just a very short time. They rise up and they're thick and they thin out and then poof, they're gone. It talks about a tale being told. Stories begin and stories end. Just like a story. You're telling a story, and you begin telling it, and then you get to the end of it, and that's it. That's it. And the Bible talks about the natural life in the body as a pilgrimage, traveling from one place to the other. It's temporary. You're not going to be in that body forever. Praise the Lord for that, huh? I'm glad I'm not going to be in this body forever, this vile body. All y'all walking around and exercising. The Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. It didn't say that it didn't profit, but it profits little. The only profit you get out of bodily exercise is immediate results, because as soon as you quit exercising, your body's going to go back to doing exactly what it done before, and that's dying. It's going to the grave. It's headed to the grave. You say, well, Brother TV, that ain't nothing to be saying. Well, it's Bible. It's true. Why would you want to hang on to something and try to lie to yourself about something that's happening before your eyes? Go look in the mirror. It's happening, and it's nothing to be scared of. The Bible says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're not going to be in that body forever. You're going to get a new body fashioned like unto the Lord's glorious body. And the Lord's going to change that thing and make it where it's forever. And it's perfect like unto His glorious body. You ought to be looking forward to that. Praise the Lord, He didn't make us make us have to live in these vile bodies. Everybody walking around, you know, that's just like man and his wickedness and that evil heart that he's got, the wicked imaginations of his heart. Walking around, the biggest thing, one of the gods of this world is sex and perversion. And one of the things that they try to advertise all the time is nakedness, uncovering that body. And the Bible speaks all over the place, except for the marriage bed, as nakedness being a shame. It's a shame for you to uncover that vile body, except in the marriage bed. Because the Bible says that your husband, if you're a woman, but it says that in the marriage bed that the woman's body is the man's, and the man's body is the woman's. And there's no shame in that, in the marriage bed. But other than that, the Bible never speaks of nakedness being anything but shameful. And all you guys walking around with your shorty shorts on, showing off your legs and everything else, and arguing with people about that, and walking around with your shirt off all the time, and just as least amount of clothes. Well, it's hot out here. Ah, flabbity, go flubbity, flabbity. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, cover yourself. Anywhere in the Scriptures you see the Lord talking about that body and that natural body that's going back to the grave, it's a shame for it to be uncovered. And you women the same way. Cover yourself. The Bible says it's a shame. Nakedness is a shame. And the Bible says that a woman that shows her thighs is classified as a harlot. And your thighs start right there at your knees, you know. So let's cover ourselves and let's mind the Lord and let's tell the truth about these bodies. I don't know how we got into that, but it's good stuff, ain't it? It's the truth. But the Bible says the natural, it's a pilgrimage. We're traveling. And then there was one other thing it talked about. Is it as being as grass, that life in this body, the natural life, is as grass. There's a song that's out like that that I remember. I don't remember who sings it, but it's a spiritual song that they sing the scripture. It says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." And you can see, as we age, you can see the flower falling away from our flesh, and you can see our flesh withering, can't you? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. And that's New Testament, by the way. And the Lord never changed his mind concerning nakedness and concerning the natural body and how it's short. You're not going to be in that body very much longer. And some of you ain't going to, if you keep up what you're doing, you're not going to be in it very much longer at all. You're going to shorten your life for sure. All that drinking and drugging and hooping and hollering and everything that destroys the body. And the enemy trying to give us all these toxins and all this stuff in society now. And man doing it. Man destroys himself with his inventions and destroys each other. He's the only one that likes to has to do with genocide, killing his own kind. And you don't see any animals walking around killing each other and killing their own kind, do you? Only man does that. But let's go on into our study for today, and we're going to continue in this life natural, and we're talking about life natural. We talked about the origin of life natural and the shortness of it, and let's move right on into this one. What about God's concern for life natural? God's concern for life natural. Well, the first thing about God's concern is about its preservation. The Lord is concerned about life natural, and he wants it preserved. And he has worked in the scriptures down through history preserving it. There would be no life natural if it wasn't for the Lord caring about it and preserving it. Now, the Lord destroyed a whole bunch of life natural several times because of sin and down through history, but not before he tried to save everybody and tried to give everybody a chance. Anybody that the Lord's ever dished out his wrath on was holding a finger up to the Lord, was just despising the Lord and mocking him and everything else. You have to force the Lord into destroying you, but he will. Once he gets his mind made up and judgment starts coming from him, you're in trouble. And the first thing that we see in the scriptures about God's concern for life naturals, it's preservation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1 through 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female. Why? To keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth." You see why the Lord did that? And he instructed Noah to do it a certain way, to bring so many of this and so many of that. And the reason for it was that the Lord's plan was to not kill mankind and kill life natural off. He didn't want to kill it off. He wanted to judge and keep life going. And notice the one that he picked to keep it going, he considered righteous before him. You see. And Notice another thing in that verse, just for a side note, is that he picked male and female to keep seed alive. It takes a man and a woman to keep life, not a man and a man. If all society was men and men, mankind would die off because life would cease. There can be no life, natural life, life natural, with just female and female. There can be no existence of life natural with just male and male. It can't happen. It can't happen. So the Lord tells us right there that concerning God's concern for life natural is that it be preserved. And he has made plans. His son came and died for us and came and brought the sacrifice that was necessary to save mankind and to save life natural. Life natural goes all the way to the end of the scriptures. Life natural is never going to be wiped out, and they're talking about this annihilation of the entire world and all mankind are going to get blown up and blah-bitty-blah. Read your Bible. It's not going to happen. The Lord's going to be the one to destroy what the majority of life natural, that's rebellion, perverted, nasty, God-hating heretics that hate God and don't want nothing to do with him or his son. The Lord's going to come take care of all that business. But life natural is not going to quit. It's going to keep going. The Lord's preserving it all the way to the end. Past the, all the way up to the white throne judgment. Life natural. Look at your Bible. It's there. You see it in the millennium. You see it in the tribulation. Life natural. It's there. Different times and different happenings and different dispensations and different motives of what God has planned during that time period, but life natural. God's preservation of it. And that's not all. God's concern for life natural is also its protection. The Lord is interested in protecting life natural. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, and 17 and 19, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. If you had any time at all or any kind of a relationship with the Lord, I don't know how long you've been in the body of Christ, been saved, but if you've had any kind of fellowship with the Lord at all, you know that the Lord has protected you. I can look back many a times. There's probably not very many days that go by when I'm sitting and just meditating or thinking about the Lord or talking to him, or well, something will come up from my past where I'll say, well, Lord, you saved me out of that. You say I'd have to thank him. And the older you get, the more things come up, don't they? You see where the Lord has protected you from things, mostly yourself. I see all the time. I mean, it's getting into, you'd think, well, I know of two or three times. No. The older you get, you're going to think of hundreds of times, and you're going to see that the Lord was there and that he protected you. The Lord's concern for life natural is that it be protected, and he's active in protecting us and protecting our lives. The Lord is not a God of death. He's a God of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And that's what we're trying to figure out, is what this life is. And one thing that we see is that it's life natural. We're living it. You can see it. You can feel it. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can look at it. You can see it. You can move it. You can everything about it. Life natural. Man is not ignorant of life natural. We can see it. But that doesn't define what life is. It shows us the evidence of life, but it doesn't define life. And that's what we're trying to find out. while we're learning all this other stuff from the scriptures. Another thing, God's concern for life natural is its perpetuity or its continuation. God wants, we set that up in preservation there, but this is just a little bit different. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." You know, one thing that God did as far as blessing the man and the woman was to tell them to be fruitful and make babies and fill the earth. These people talking about the earth is overcrowded, they're just as stupid as they must be cross-eyed, because they ain't no way. Brother Kent Hovind, he's a scientist that's been given to seminars for a long time, and I got to meet him personally, and I got to sit under his seminars, and I have his seminars in my library, in my library on the shelf. But he talks about some that if you took everybody on planet Earth, I think we're right at 8 billion people on planet Earth, or maybe 9 billion, I don't know what it is now, but if you took everybody on planet Earth, he said you could fit them in the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida, and everybody would have so much room around them. Now, that's a lot of folks, but you can fit there, and they're talking about the entire planet being overcrowded. You look around you when you're traveling through, traveling in your car, just when you're thinking about it, look around you and see how much open space is between the crowded places, so-called. There's place all over the place for man to be. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. God's idea is for life to continue, and he said, high fences make good neighbors. Stretch out. And what do? They go to New York City and build skyscrapers, and everybody lives on top of one another. That's what they did back in Babel, remember? The very first thing, the very first civilization, God told them what he tell them. Stretch out. Replenish the whole earth. Go out there and just spread out and make babies and replenish the entire, and just cover the entire earth. Fill the earth. And what they do? They all come together in a big crowd and decided they was going to build a city and build a tower. And that's what. And then the Lord just changed everybody's language and confused everybody. Then they stretched out a little bit. That's what a man always wants to do. Man thinks he's got to come together and just everybody be all together and feel powerful and everything. And you know what that leads to? We don't need God anymore. We got us, and we got a city, and we got a tower. But God is for the continuation of man. Now, if the Lord did not care about life, natural, then why has he allowed it to continue for 6,000 plus years? Because he's concerned about it, that's why. If he didn't care about its continuation, the Lord could have just snuffed us out a long time ago. And that would have been the end of it. And, you know, just made another creation, started over, whatever he wanted to do. But God is not a God like that. He's not a God like man thinks. He don't think like man thinks. God didn't make man just sitting around having a glass of tea and, poof, there's a man. And then didn't care about it. The Lord cares about what he does. And he don't do anything happenstance as far as just fiddling around and not caring about what he does. The Lord takes natural life, life natural, very seriously. More seriously than we do. But the continuation of it, the perpetuity of it, and that's, hope I said that right. That's a big word for me. But anyway, the Bible tells us that God's will is for us to stretch out and multiply multiply, the continuation of it. That's not all. God's concern is not only for the preservation and the protection and the perpetuity, the continuation of it, but also for its provision. Now, you can testify to this, couldn't you? That God provides for you? I mean, if the Lord didn't care about life natural, He would just let things go. If the Lord let things go, and he didn't have a hand in growing your food and making sure that the water's clean and that it does what it's supposed to do to clean itself. And I mean, you look around you at nature and what nature provides to keep us alive, talking about the air having to be just right for us to breathe, not too much oxygen, not too less oxygen, that if the sun was any closer or any farther away, I mean, all these things. And I don't know how a man can stand back and look around at all the things that are so sensitive to life natural that if one thing changed in any degree, for instance, the sun being too close or too far away, but it's just right, or the oxygen being so much percentage this way and that way and that it would be too much or too less, but it's just right. That the rain and the water cleanses itself. It picks up and goes back out into the ocean and then rains and comes in and rains on the land and then flows into the creeks and everything goes right back out into the ocean. It changes from salt water to fresh water. I mean, the Lord's provisions, that the ground would be in such a way and have certain minerals and certain all the things, you know, I think the ground, if I'm not mistaken, now you science smart people, I'm not that way, but I read one time that interested me that the ground is made up of 96 minerals or whatever it is, 96, and guess how many man's made up of? 96. Isn't that interesting? I hope I got my numbers right, but whatever the ground is and what did God make man out of? Out of the dust of the earth. So you're dirt, man. So don't get on your kids about eating dirt. Dirt ain't bad. Dirt's good. But God's provisions. If he didn't have it, he made that earth grow the food for us, makes the earth grow the food for us. He keeps the water fresh for us. Man can't live without water. Man can't live without food. All these stinking stupid commercials that you're watching on television that make all these man doing this and man, forget all that stupid stuff. Man ain't doing nothing but just imagining things and dreaming. That's what he's doing. God's word is true. God's provisions, if we didn't have the Lord and he didn't provide for us, you'd be dead. That's what you'd be. Psalm chapter 104. Now, you go ask the people that are in some of them countries that are starving to death. They'll tell you about God's provisions and what man can do and what he can't do. You go in there where they ain't got no water and they have to carry water for miles and miles and miles. They'll tell you what God's provision and how good God's provision is. It's hard to imagine that in America because America, God's been so good to Americans. And we've had plenty of everything. You got your running water running right through a pipe coming right to your front door inside your house. All you got to do is twist a handle. You got fresh drinking water keep you alive. And your food is taken right down to a store down there. All you got to do is carry a pocket full of money. Well, two pockets now, but carry some money. Go down there, pick out what you want, bring it home and eat it. And most of you probably got a week or a month's worth in your house, don't you? You see, God's provisions about life natural. God's not interested. He's not only interested in preserving it or protecting it and the perpetuity of it, and he's interested in the provisions of it. We got a wonderful Lord. Everybody walking around talking about feeling sorry for yourself, acting like you ain't got this and you ain't got that. And the Bible says, be content with such things as you have. For God knows what you have need of before you ask. And most of the time the Lord provides for us before we even, while we think that we're trying to provide for ourselves, the Lord's providing for us, isn't he? And he picks up the slack for us because we're so stupid. But listen to this in Psalm chapter 104 and verse 21 through 30 concerning God's provision for life natural. The Bible says the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is the Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Sounds like the Lord's in control of it all, doesn't it? It mentioned the breath. Matter of fact, remember that. Remember what I told you before. Remember that breath. We're studying what is life. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Remember we talked about being created a while ago? So everybody tells you that God has nothing to do with you existing and you just come about because of mommy and daddy. There's truth in that, but it's a lie to think that God didn't have anything to do with you being. Okay? The Bible teaches that. And thou renewest the face of the earth. The Lord gives us and takes care of us, and God is concerned. God's concerned. Aren't you glad he cares about life? Whatever life is, aren't you glad he cares about it? God's concern for life natural. It's preservation, it's protection, it's perpetuity, it's provisions. And also, one here that's interesting. God's concern for life natural is in its punishment. You say, what? Yeah. God's concern for life natural and its punishment. Listen to this. Galatians chapter 6. You know this verse. Verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh... What's that? Life natural. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, talking about God the Holy Ghost, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now we know that's the New Testament and talking about spiritual things there also. But when it comes to natural life, we see also that God's not going to be mocked by anything having to do with natural life. He's not going to be mocked. You can't mock God. That's one thing I respect highly about the Lord, is that he don't let nobody manipulate him or push him around. You want to love God, he'll love you back. You want to be a smarty pants to the Lord, he'll show you what it's all about. He said he'll meet you face to face. He don't hide in corners. He ain't scared of nobody. He ain't scared of nobody. As a matter of fact, whenever we're serving him, we're sincere with him. One of the things he teaches us is not to be scared of anybody. This world is full of fear. They try to scare everybody. That's what's going on with this coronavirus. They're coming up with so many stupid things having to do with coronavirus. It's ridiculous. It's a big fear thing is what it is. They're trying to scare everybody to death. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. Listen to this. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Upon the woman, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee not, or commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. It's a punishment. The Lord punished all three of them for that. He didn't punish one for the other. He punished everybody individually for their individual things that they did wrong. Some of them blamed the other ones, but he punished them, and that punishment's still going on. The reason man has to sweat for his food, and the reason that there's thorns and thistles, is part of man's punishment, part of a man's punishment for listening to his wife and eating that fruit. And part of a woman's sorrow, not that she didn't have any pain, the Lord said that he would greatly, that he said that because she had eaten, that he was going to greatly multiply her sorrow and thy conception. And said, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And of course you know that's true. And that's part of the punishment. That's part of the punishment. I don't know if that's going to be happening in the... I know that there will be children. There will be animals in the millennium. There will be children born. Life natural is going to continue on. Continue on. The body of Christ is going to be different. We're going to be as the angels of God. There's not going to be any of that in the body of Christ. Actually, what's going to happen with us is that we're replacing all the, the Lord's going to replace all the angels and the devil's crowd with us. That's who's, if you read your Bible, that's whose place we're taking. Yeah, we're not taking their exact, in their exact kind of condition, because their condition's bad. But the Lord is really putting it in the devil's face with us. And not that we're something to brag on ourselves about, but of the Lord's might and the Lord's mercy and God's goodness and what his ability is and what he can do. And you just don't know all the things that you got coming because of the Lord's grace and his mercy. And it's going to be wonderful. It already is. But God cares about natural life. He's concerned with it. He's concerned about its preservation, its protection, its perpetuity, its provisions, and its punishment. Listen to Hebrews. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 through 11, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God whips you so you can be holy. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised by thereby. In other words, God preserves life natural by giving you a whooping. He gives you a whooping, it makes you more holy, it makes you more righteous, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It makes you do the right things. Isn't that good? The Bible says that because punishment against an evil work is not exercised speedily, therefore the hearts of men are always wanting to do bad all the time. And I put that in TVs because I couldn't remember the last. Exercised thereby, the hearts of men are continually wanting to do evil. Something like that. In other words, the reason people keep doing wrong is because they're not getting whoopings for it. There was a man, an American over in Germany, when I was in the military, there was a big headline about it. A man over in Germany, an American over there, and he was going around graffitiing cars with paint cans. But he was in another country. No, this wasn't in Germany. It was in one of the Oriental countries, but it was in a paper in Germany that I'd read it. He was going around spray painting cars. And when they caught him and took him in and convicted him of it, the punishment that they had in that country was to tie him up to a pole and give him a certain amount of stripes with a cane rod. And he appealed to America and everything else and tried to get them to, they said that was cruel and unusual punishment, but they said, you're in our country and you violated our law and you're going to get it. There wasn't nothing American could do. So they tied him up and they gave him 5 whops with that, you think five whops across the back with a cane. So what? No big deal. They interviewed that fella later on and asked him if he ever thought about painting cars again. He said that right there changed his mind forever. Changed his mind forever. Because punishment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of men are continually wanting to do evil. You want to know how come somebody goes to jail and goes back 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 to jail for the same thing? It's because they ain't giving him a whooping. That's what the Bible says. Believe what you want to believe. You know better than that. That's how come your kids are running crazy, because you can't whoop them no more. If a kid knew that he was going to get a whooping, when I was a boy, the things that I did not do that I thought about doing, I give credit to my daddy, because it was easier for me to talk myself out of doing something bad, the things that I didn't do. And there's so many things that I did do, but my mama even had power over it. She would use daddy. She'd say, I'm going to tell your daddy. And that got somewhere with us. That's what the Bible teaches. Just because America and the rules and the laws and all that stuff, you see what the rules and the laws are doing to society. If they was giving whoopings like some of these other countries, that stuff, I mean, not carrying it out and giving people 20-year sentences so the taxpayers have to pay all the bills to keep this fool in jail and feed him. They take him in the courtroom, find him guilty, give him a sentence right then, take him out and execute it right then. You get 5 whops with a cane. and then take him to hospital, let him heal, turn him loose, say it's forgotten. It's over with. Just that simple. Save all that money, all them problems, and all that stuff. But instead, they put him in jail, let him stay in there 20 years until they think about what they're going to do to him, and the taxpayers get to pay the big bills. Need to do it like the Lord says. The Lord says he punishes, and he does. Don't you think that you're going to get away with anything, because you're not. The Bible says some men's sins are taken care of while you're still in the body, and some men's sins follow them into eternity. And you're going to be punished later. But you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Now, being in the body of Christ changes things a little bit. Because once you leave that body or the Lord comes and gets us, then there is no condemnation after we go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But losing rewards and all that kind of stuff is going to be sad enough on your part and embarrassing enough on your part. But in the body, the Lord passes out punishment down here. God's concern for life natural, part of it is passing out punishment. And if God does that, why wouldn't man want to do it and follow, because the reason he don't want to do it is because he hates God and he don't want God telling him what to do. Well, look at the outcome. Well, to do it like the Lord says, do things and things will be all right. That was in Hebrews. Listen to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Correction. The Bible calls a man a fool that will not hear rebuke. A man that turns his nose up at rebuke and correction and walks away from it is a fool, the Bible says. Because that's what corrects men. So not only is God concerned about life natural in that way? One more thing that we see that God is concerned about when it comes to life natural is its perfection and glory. Life natural. You know, the Lord's not taking us to glory in this condition that we're in. We're under a curse. Your body is vile. It's dying. It can't go to heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not going there. It's going back to the dirt. And then when the Lord comes, he's going to raise that thing up and change it. And mortals going to put on immortality. You're going to be changed like God is. And that body's not going to be able to, that body and the condition it's in, God wouldn't let that thing within 1,000 miles of him. It can't be in God's presence. It's sinful. It's wicked. It's evil. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts. You see, it's a lot of things that people don't want to admit, but you being a Christian, you shouldn't have no problem admitting this. The Bible says because of pride, a man won't admit things like that about what God says about him. But you know better. You know what God's done for you and what he does for you and how he preserves you and how he's interested in your continuation, that how he provides for you, how he has preserved you from hell, how he keeps you from sin every day and protects you. He's interested in you in life continuing. You know God cares about life by the way he does things and by how the way he provides for you and the whoopings he gives you. But not only that, God's concern is for life natural's perfection and glory. He has made things, the Lord has made things to where whenever we go into eternity, that this flesh is going to be changed and it's going to be dealt with and it's going to be perfected. Just the way it was before Adam failed. Listen to what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. It says, for our conversation, and when the Bible's talking about conversation, sometimes that conversation means our manner of life, the way that we live. Not talking about words going back and forth. It's talking about my conversation, the way that I live in this flesh and the way I live in my life. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. God can change anything he wants to change and do anything he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and don't have to have anybody's approval or permission or even their input. That's a big problem in society today, again, about another thing. I know we've been telling you a lot of side stuff here, but one thing in society is people talk too much. Everybody's got an opinion and a say-so about stuff that ain't none of their stinking business. If everybody just shut their mouth and mind their own business, this world would be in a lot better condition. But you got one little bitty thing happen, one child gets corrected by a mama and daddy too much or something like that, and you got the whole nation talking about it. And it ain't nobody's business, but just who's right there involved in that part of town right there. You see, a lot of problems with that garbage too. But the Bible says that our conversation is in heaven. That's where the Lord is intending for us natural life to end up. We're not here. We're just in the body right now. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. It says, for us not to care about the things of the earth, but set our affections on things above, where moth and rust does not corrupt, and thieves don't break through and steal. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, listen to this now, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You ought to memorize that verse, because that's something to remind yourself about every day. Y'all that are scared of dying, and most of us are, and in some time of our life, if we're not now, have been scared of dying. But you don't have to be. If you're born again, you don't have to think of death that way. Death is just changing places. That's all it is. It's not an end for a Christian. As a matter of fact, it's a beginning. When Christ, who is our life. Now, there's something to remember when we're talking about seeking what life is. What is life? The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life. That's a big piece of evidence right there when it comes to what is life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he's going to appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This is not your home here. The intentions of the Lord and the Lord's care about life natural, his concern about life natural, is not only its preservation, not only its protection, its perpetuity and continuation, its provisions, its punishment, but also its perfection in glory. You see how the Lord has fixed this thing all the way from the beginning to the end and done it all through our Lord Jesus Christ, making it possible and paying the penalty and giving the Father his life and his shed blood so that the Father would forgive us freely. What a deal. What a deal. I hope that you've asked the Lord to save you, and I hope you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have, your concern ought to be the same concern as the Lord's concerning your natural life. The Lord cares more about your natural life than you do. Your business is to be concerned about your spiritual life and getting closer to the Lord and minding the Lord and giving the Lord glory for what he has done for our life natural. But we're talking about life, and the subject that we're on right now is the origin of life we've talked about, and the Bible's description of it, and God's concern of life natural. We have some more talk about concerning life natural, and we're trying to find out what is life. I think we're getting closer, don't you? Especially since we read that one verse right there. We've read several verses today that have given us a lot of evidence about what life is. The Bible made it very clear right there when we read that verse just a minute ago about the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians, about the Lord Jesus Christ being our life, who is our life, the Bible says. So we'll stop right there, and we'll pick up on our next recording, and we're going to talk about what we've talked about today, the concern of life natural, but next time we're going to talk about what the believer's attitude toward life natural should be. How should we think about it? We understand how God thinks about it now. We understand God's concern for it. We understand the description of the shortness of it and where it come from, the origin of it. But what does the Bible say about how the believer's attitude ought to be toward life natural? Us being in the body and being here on this earth and being here where they just setting rockets off by the millions, going up to the moon, even talking about living on the moon now and setting up a colony up there. And go ahead, you first. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here on this earth. God didn't intend for us to go live on the moon. Y'all go ahead. Bring back some cheese. I heard the moon was made of cheese, didn't you? So, anyway, what a believer's attitude ought to be toward life natural, what it should be. We're going to talk about that. So, it's been good. It's been a real good study today, and I hope that you've learned a lot. And let me give you these scriptures. I didn't forget this time. You ready? Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, 17, and 19. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Psalms chapter 104, verse 21 through 30. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And the last one for today is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Wonderful, wonderful scriptures. All of it true, all of it supernatural, and all of it inspired, and all of it from our Lord to us. Wonderful stuff. Well, the Lord bless you, and I hope that you have a wonderful evening. It's been a good time today. We've studied our Lord's Word. We've given honor to Him and glory to Him, and we're thankful to Him. Thank Him for something today. And don't be ashamed of the Lord. Talk to you on the next recording. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.